London Institute, they used to do this thing called This Time Tomorrow. What will you be doing this time tomorrow? And it's saying that wherever we go out with the presence of God within us. And we go to those places, and he will use us in those places, wherever we are, whether that's in a workplace, whether that's in a school, whether that's in a uni, whether that is in the home, whatever it is we are doing, we go and we take the presence of God with us. And it's really important that as a church, whilst we are doing these things centrally, we're also a church that equips and recognizes and acknowledges that each of us is called to bloom where we are planted. Wherever we find ourselves. So, let me just make sure I've said everything I need to say before I invite Sandy up. Yeah, I think I have. Sandy, can we welcome Sandy? I was at the... it doesn't matter, yeah. I was at the HTB conference last week, and... they had all sorts of little minions running around bringing chairs up and water. And so I thought I'd try and copy it, but I haven't got any minions bringing us water and things.
I think we'll cope.
Yeah, it's much more us doing it this way. So I don't know if you know Sandy. Sandy, do you just want to just say a little bit about yourself just to start with? Just people who don't know you. Who are you, Sandy Keane?
Well, Sandy Keane. Who am I? Well, crumbs, how do you answer that? I've been in the church, well, I've been in the this church and St. Thomas's Church since 1971, so feel a bit like part of the furniture. I'm married to Ralph, as most of you will know. I married Ralph later in life, having had a difficult first marriage, and we have two children, well, Ralph's children, but they're now mine, so that's great. What else? That's enough, surely?
Yeah, that's great, because we'll hear more about who you are as we answer the questions.
As we go along, yeah.
The thing I would like to say as well, right at the beginning, is I'm so grateful to Sandy and Ralph. They've served the church. They are very involved in lots of different things. I'm sure many of you know this. And particularly very grateful to Sandy, who chairs the Safeguarding Subgroup, which is a really important group, which just makes sure that we are doing all the things that we should do as a church in terms of making this a place where people can come safe and encounter God without fear and in a safe place, which is great. Oh, here's my minion. Very good.
Does that count as a minion?
I'm so tempted to carry on with this, but I won't. I'll get myself into trouble.
Thank you, Andrew.
So, Sandy, what is it you do Monday to Friday? Give us a brief picture of what it looks like. What are the highs and lows?
Yeah. Well, I think I probably ought to start by a bit of context and an apology to those who know this. But I retired from proper work, if you'd say, or paid work, a job, about over 10 years ago. It was quite a high-profile job. And because I'm a bit of a workaholic, I carried on working, really. But I went into consultancy, and I worked across the health and social care systems in the northeast and Yorkshire and Humberside, helping them to work better together. And then gradually, and I became a non-exec director of the Health Service Mental Health Trust as well. But gradually, God put into my way the opportunity to serve in Christian charities. And gradually, the balance of work over that time has changed, which is why what I'm going to say today is that what is fantastic about my Monday to Friday is there's a better work-life balance for a start. rather than 50 and 60 hours a week, I am probably doing much less. and no week is the same. Every week is different, and every week brings amazing joys and privilege. But it's a patchwork of things that have been built on what God has led me through in the rest of my life, really. So firstly, I am on the board of three Christian charities. Two of them are national and one of them local. And that involves board meetings. I'm on subcommittees on two of them. And I also am involved in regular prayer for them. We have regular prayer meetings for different things that are happening in the charities. And out of that has come quite an involvement in mentoring. I have a real passion for supporting particularly women in leadership. And so I've done, I'm currently mentoring two and about to start another mentoring process for women in leadership. One of the other surprises last year was that I was approached to join a group of independent advisors to the Church of England in sorting their safeguarding organisation and structures out, which was a bit amazing, really. It's amazing what God does, because, I mean, there was nothing I sought in that. But that's a real privilege, to actually be working with people who want to make a difference in the Church of England and to address some of the real pain and the difficulties that have happened over the last number of years that many of you know, because it's in the public domain. So I'm doing that. Another big bit, really, that I do is what I have had to term as troubleshooting, because I don't know what else to say. I'm sometimes approached and asked to do independent complaints of tricky things that are happening in organisations, sometimes Christian organisations. The bishop asked me to do one a couple of years ago. And actually only last week I've been approached by a leadership of a church in Sheffield who are having a few difficulties together in relation to how they move forward on safeguarding. And so I'm privileged to really be able to do that. And individuals or groups of people who are facing difficult things that I can hopefully help with, that's what I do with that as well. And all of that is besides what I do at NCS, because the thing that really gives me joy is Friday mornings, where I help Andrew lead the food bank on Friday mornings. Just a little plug about Justice Matters. I help Ralph and Kath and others with that. It is 7 till 9 on Friday, not 9:30. So don't worry, you can get home to bed early. So it's 7 till 9. So I do that. Obviously, Mike's mentioned the safeguarding subgroup. Occasionally cook at DTI, I think, and work with some of the youth. It's a real joy to have involvement with the youth.
Just you say occasionally. I mean, Ralph and Sandy, they go and they cook for the DTI youth, and they're amazing. And I know Andrew said to me how much the youth love you being there, and they're like, if you don't mind me saying, like grandparents to the children, to the youth. You know, they come and you're a safe group couple to come to and they chat to. And I know Andrew said, you've said, haven't you, Andrew, how important that they are and how great they've been at DTI. So just want to, you just kind of glossed over that, but that's a really...
Well, I just want to say what a joy it is, because actually Ralph and I aren't grandparents, and possibly because of the family life of our two children, unlikely to be. And so to actually, you know, have that label is a real more of a joy than you can actually imagine. So thank you. Great. And other than that, it's family and friends in my weeks. When I was working so hard, I had this dream to be a lady that lunched. Have any of you heard that expression? But you know, to actually be able to go out and see friends and to actually communicate with people, especially as for part of my career I was living 9 years Monday to Friday in Leeds, so that was a real dream, and now I can do it. It's absolutely fantastic. So occasionally I'm a lady that lunches or meets my friends for coffee, and we love hospitality and we love being with people. So I think that probably is a bit of a flavour of Monday to Friday.
Thank you. Not I don't know how you speak so enthusiastically about being on boards and things like that.
Well, I know. Well, you see, this is it. God leads each of us to different things.
He does.
He's given, you know, when I say enthusiastically, I think one of the things I wanted to say was that God calls all of us to make a difference. And we make a difference in different ways. All of us have got a different place in the world to make a difference. And I never dreamt that I would be making a difference on a board or in the Church of England or anywhere else. Because actually in my 20s, my dream was to have a big family, and that didn't happen. And what I can really say is that although you go through pain and trauma in your life, God knows the best plan for you. And I have such joy in the things that he calls me to do that that more than compensates for any dream I might have had many, many years ago.
That's great. Can I just go back a little bit and just how did you become a Christian? I should have started it, but this, you know, I haven't put this as a question on here, but
it was a very long time ago.
Yeah, but what's your journey of faith?
My brother went to Birkdale School in Sheffield, which some of you will know of, and it's a Christian school, and the boys used to be taken by leaders to a camp every summer, and sometimes Easter and Christmas as well. And this is where you see cooking for large numbers comes from, because I used to go along as a helper, as a sister. You know, there was somebody obviously who organised it, and we just went along. And I remember one of my first times when we were the younger ones were left in charge of the cooking, and we didn't know you had to put pasta into hot boiling water, so we boiled it up and it went like glue. So, you know, I did learn a lot. But anyway, that's where I first came to hear about God and the call on our lives, and that's where I became a Christian.
Amazing. And you've talked a little bit, you mentioned this a little bit, kind of like you wouldn't imagine God to have called you into some of these places, and you've touched a little bit on some of the things that have been great. Can you expand a little bit on what have been the highs and what have been the lows of being a follower of Jesus? Maybe just you personally, but also in the workplace, and have there been things you could say, yeah, I really am glad God's called me into this place, but there's also been places where it's been really tough?
I mean, all through, for those that don't know, I was a director of social services and adult social services. And so dealing with massive things, you know, big budgets, lots of difficulties, people in trauma and difficulty, and a lot of staff. And I think the highlights really have been, you know, I can't go into them, but I can think of some really, really tricky situations, both in relation to people, in relation to budgets, in relation to politics, that I really knew that God was with me, and that God had placed me there, and that actually the outcomes of things that happened were as a result of prayer. Ralph and I used to prayer walk around the Civic Centre in Leeds when I was there, because, you know, there were some tricky things going on, and that made a difference. But I mean, closer to home in terms of the highs, I probably have, if I've said it too much, I'm sorry, but I just feel that we're called to make a difference. And so when I feel I've made a difference, that is a real high. When I feel that the Holy Spirit has been there and gone before me. So they're big things like the Church of England. You know, if I've made a comment in a meeting that was taken up and taken forward, or made a comment on a report that has been incorporated or something like that, it feels, thank you, Lord, that's what you've put me there for. That's why I'm there. But there are smaller things as well, like food bank. The other day, somebody came in and said, "Have you got lunches today?" And we said, "Yes." And he sort of brushed his hands together. And he said, "Oh, goody!" You know. And I just thought, you know, this is where we're at. This is what we're supposed to be doing. This is what this man needs. A comment from kids about DTI, you know, it they're real highs, because they are such encouragements to carry on doing whatever God has called you to do.
Great. What would you, slightly side question, you've been involved in some Christian spheres, but what's it like being a Christian with someone of faith in some of the places that aren't faith places? What's it been like? Has it been open? What's it like? Because I was a teacher for a while, so, you know, I knew what it was like to be a teacher in that environment. But what's your take on what it's like to be a Christian in the workplace or in these environments? Is it open or is it hard?
I have never found opposition to my faith in my workplace, specifically. I mean, I think when you're in a people-based service, people are there because they want to help people, and so there are quite often not so much people of faith, but people with the same values that want to be helpful. I know some people find it difficult in a political environment, but I can honestly say I never did. I think once I did do a bit of a talk, and I will never forget when the leader of the council asked me to see him one day, and it was to ask me something about theology, because he was coming across it in his local patch with people in the local church, and I'm sure I didn't give the right answer, but you know, the very fact that the leader of the council had asked me a question about faith, I was completely astonished by. So I think it's partly, I mean, I suppose I've also believed that God calls us to be the best that we can be in any work, any situation, whether it's work, family, or whatever. And it's about respecting everybody around you. And, you know, you can't, in a public work, as many of you will know, you cannot evangelize, you cannot. But I, whilst I never in the workplace prayed for people there and then, I often said I would pray for them. It wasn't appropriate for me to offer in the sort of workplace I was in. But I think people respected that, actually. I was very grateful for it and very thankful, really.
That's great. I mean, it's, I think for many people in the workplace, knowing how to be live out your faith there and being careful and respectful. But we, one thing we always can do is lift up people to in prayer, can't we? Pray for people, which is great. What would you love to see God do in the kind of what hasn't happened yet? What would you love to see God do as a result of prayer? Because what I'd love us to do, one of the things I'd love to come off the back of these times is we get to know people a little bit more, and we can pray for people, can't we? We can pray for Sandy, and we can pray for the people that we meet and hear from. So, what would you love to see God do?
Oh, I'd love to see us grow.
Yeah.
I'd love to see us do more of, I mean, what I should have said, is, which is hopefully fairly obvious, my heart is for social justice. So I would love to see more of that. I would love to see more of the Holy Spirit in our worship and in our daily lives together. I'd love to see him working and obvious. I know he is working, but, you know, sort of more obviously. I would love to. We focus a lot on up, you know, getting close to Jesus. We also need to concentrate on the in and the out. So as you know, more of how we build each other up in fellowship, together, in through our communities and our ministry together, and how that, you know, more of a focus actually on how we support and help people in the workplace to go out into Sheffield, into the world.
Great. Is there anything else you wanted to say, Sandy, that I haven't said the right question that gives you ability to say that? Any other stories or any things you want to say about before? Then I just want you to tell us how we can pray for you particularly. But is there anything else before we do that?
I think I would just... one of the questions you sent originally was any recent answered prayer.
Yes.
And I just... I know there has been a bit of talk from the front about the food bank, and I just wanted to share that those of us that are praying for food bank, you know, we were combining Tuesday and Friday together at Philly for all sorts of very different reasons. Some of which might have been interpreted as not so good. And one of the things, we were all praying that actually good would come. One of my lessons in work in Leeds was that you never put a proposal forward to save money unless you could demonstrate how what you were proposing was going to be better. Now, that's a bit of a challenge when you're reducing resources, but I believe it's possible. And so I started praying, Lord, how can Fridays be better? having combined Tuesdays and Fridays together. And Andrew and I were chatting one day, and it just came that we need to start providing food, and we need to, you know, sort of try and consolidate everybody together. And I know there's a bit of work for Tuesdays and Friday volunteers to, I think, feel one team yet, but the lunches have been fantastic. I mean, God's hand has been so on it. This last Friday, there were 24 people stayed. It has been gradually rising and rising. And the atmosphere is fantastic. What we need is more people to come and be alongside the folks that are staying and be able to chat more, because the folks in Food Bank have to stay and give out the food. But what an answer to prayer that God is moving, and he's moving into the lives of people who come to our food bank. And what a privilege to serve.
Amazing. Thank you. It would be great to I would love to just do a short prayer for you, and then you're going to lead us in some prayer. Two, three things that would be really good to pray for you at the moment, the things you're involved with at the moment.
I think the two biggies are the Church of England safeguarding. I mean, it does occasionally feel a bit of a daunting responsibility. Not that it is mine, and I'm very low down the food chain, I can assure you. But it's, but you know, just having the right wisdom, having the right opportunity to input where it's needed. And, you know, it is a privilege to work alongside. There's an awful lot of very talented people working on this as well. But just to be able to make a difference. The other one is this new thing that came to me just over a week ago with the church in Sheffield with some tricky issues. Again, to have the wisdom, I feel, possibly to be a peacemaker in relation to some difficulties. So maybe, you know, again, just being God's instrument in relationships, I think those are the two biggies. That's fine, those two.
That's great. Well, can I just lead us in prayer for Sandy, and then Sandy's going to finish by leading us all in the prayer which you've written, which will draw together. You can explain what the prayer is before, but let's just pray for Sandy just for this moment. Father God, thank you that we said at the beginning, you call us into different places, and wherever we go, you can work through us. And we thank you this morning for Sandy and for the places that you have called her to through the years in her life, the way that she has served you by being your person in that place. And we pray for her, particularly at the moment, as she serves on the Church of England Safeguarding Committee, that you will give her wisdom to speak the right words and to discern what the right thing is to say in any situation. So we pray for that, Lord. We pray for wisdom for her, and we pray for wisdom for her in the more local situations that she's involved in as well. And we do give you thanks, Lord, for her and for Ralph, and for the way that they serve this church, for their heart for justice, and how they bring us to keep that on the agenda, and how that is important for us as a church because of people like Sandy and Ralph. And also thank you, Lord, for the way that they serve on DTI, and pray that you'd give them real strength this summer as well, as they do the same again and as they cook for all those young people at DTI. So we bless Sandy, we bless her to be filled with your spirit, to be able to continue to do the work of the kingdom in the places where you've called her. Amen.
This prayer was written out of my heart of thanksgiving to God for his life, or Jesus's life. My lament for the state of the world, and my hope and expectation for God moving in the future and moving now. So please join me. Lord Jesus Christ, thank you for your life, for the humility of your birth, the compassion of your touch, the truth in your words, and the sacrifice of your cross. You walked among the poor without hesitation, ate with the outcast, lifted the broken, healed the sick, and called the weary into rest. Thank you that your life was not distant or unreachable, but present, embodied, and given freely. You showed us what God is like, merciful, just, patient, and full of steadfast love. We thank you not only for what you did, but for who you are, Emmanuel, God with us, present, calling, redeeming, moving, transforming, and loving. And yet, Lord, we grieve. We look at the world and we see war, hatred, indifference and self-interest, divisions widening, wealth held tightly by a few, while many struggle to simply live. We see systems that crush rather than restore, voices ignored, dignity denied, and creation itself groaning under misuse. Forgive us, Lord, for the ways we have been indifferent, for the comfort we protect, for the injustice we tolerate. Our hearts ache at what should not be, physical, emotional, spiritual, and environmental poverty, communities without peace, people without hope. How long, O Lord, how long will inequality deepen and compassion grow cold? Teach us to lament rightly, not in despair, but in a holy dissatisfaction that refuses to accept brokenness as final. In you, Lord, we hope, because you are risen. We know you're not finished. Where your people gather in your name, you are present. Where your church chooses love over comfort, you move. Stir us, Lord, not as individuals alone, but as a people united. When we worship together, let it awaken justice. When we serve together, let it reflect your kingdom. When we love together, let it reveal your glory. Make us instruments of your renewal, feeding where there is hunger, lifting where there is oppression, speaking truth where there is silence. We want you to work not only around us, but through us. Let us begin not in noise, but in obedience, not in spectacle, but in faithful love. And may the world see in your church a glimpse of what is to come, a kingdom where justice and mercy meet, where all are valued, and where you are all in all. Amen.